We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hall of Famer, World Series champion, two-time Cy Young Award winner, the great Tom Glavine joining Joe Lowe and Dibs, on 95.7 The Game. Tom, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for jumping on the show. Let's start with the big news out of baseball yesterday. The floodgates have opened. Mike Leake in Arizona, Ryan Zimmerman and Joe Ross in Washington, and Ian Desmond in Colorado have all opted out of the 2020 Major League Baseball season. Do you think this is just the beginning? How many more players ultimately are going to decide this is not for them?
I would venture to say those aren't going to be the only guys. I think we've all kind of talked about the possibility of this happening, but I think in particular there are a handful of guys in baseball that we know have had some issues, pre-existing conditions. A couple of guys have battled cancer and things of that nature. So you figured those guys, at a minimum, were going to be guys that were going to be iffy, and you wouldn't be surprised if at all that they opted out. So with some of these guys not knowing exactly, what is behind their reasoning for not playing, I think you would have to suspect, given that there's going to be some more guys, but I'd have to expect too that Major League Baseball, the Players Association, they had to have had some of these conversations. They had to know that some guys were going to opt out, and they had to have plans in place, assuming that this was going to happen.
As a former player and a teammate, how would you react if a small handful of your teammates decided to not want to go, and maybe they didn't have a clear-cut pre-existing condition? If maybe they just didn't want to go through and do this, would there be some player backlash, you think?
I don't know. I mean, I think it depends, right? Because I think there, again, you don't know the underlying circumstances. Right now, you might, again, like we just talked about, some guys that have pre-existing conditions. You might have a guy who doesn't necessarily have a pre-existing condition, but somebody in his family does, or he's fearful of somebody in his family. So I think that would be the first thing that I would want to know as a teammate. There has been some talk, at least things that I've seen and read, where guys have questioned whether or not a 60-game season is worth going back and playing for. If I had a teammate coming down along those lines and I was willing to go out there and play for 60 games or 40 games or 70 games or whatever it was, then yeah, I'd probably be a little bit annoyed by that. Would it be a long-term annoyance? I don't know. I think it would require a conversation for sure. But look, everybody has their reasons, and there's no, in this situation, there's no saying, hey, you're right or you're wrong. That doesn't mean, as a teammate, maybe necessarily you have to, agree with somebody's decision, but, you can't, it's just the kind of thing where you can't sit here and just definitively say, hey, well, you're wrong with that decision. I mean, everybody feels differently about it.
No question. Where did baseball go wrong in this negotiation on both sides, and what's going to be the healing process, especially for the fans?
I think that it was twofold. Number one, it was probably too much about economics, and number two, it was too public. I think that, going back to my experiences as a player rep and having gone through the strike and a lockout in 1990, inevitably it's always about economics to some extent. Inevitably some of it is going to get in the newspaper, and a lot of that is just posturing and you know, people trying to maybe assert pressure on the other side if they're winning the PR battle and things of that nature. So, you know, some of that's going to happen. But I think in this case, where this is such a unique circumstance, I thought it got a little bit too public. And I think it got a little bit too public concerning economics in a situation where people, to be perfectly honest with you, didn't want to hear it. You know, when you have a country that's been shut down, you have people who are in many instances losing their life savings, and then you have players and owners haggling over millions of dollars, people can't relate to that, and it turns people off, and I don't blame them. So I think that was probably the two big mistakes that both sides made. Now, again, it was inevitable that they were going to argue over money. I think they could have done a better job of keeping it out of the newspapers, at least the, you know, the back and forth between the two sides. You know, proposals are always going to be public, obviously, but the reaction to those proposals maybe didn't have to be so public and so acrimonious. But, you know, it's something that you learn from, and I think that, yeah, there's going to be a percentage of people that are probably turned off or were turned off by it. But I think assuming this thing goes forward and we end up having baseball, I think once baseball is back and people are watching games and you're able to sit home now after dinner at night and turn on a ball game and not have to watch, you know, reruns or things of that nature, then I think people's animosity will dwindle to a large extent and people will get into the baseball season for what it is.
Two-time Cy Young Award winner Tom Glavine joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Two-part question for you regarding starting pitching. So we're going to have spring training 2.0, which is going to be nothing like what regular spring training is. And then when we start the season, how long, how deep into games do you think starters are going to go? And then the follow-up to that is going to be towards the end of the season, do you see teams shortening their rotation since this is a 60-game season and there's a lot that's going to be at stake for possibly a lot of teams versus a 162-game season where you weed out some of the batter teams earlier in the year?
Yeah, I think there's definitely going to be, on the back end question, I think there's potentially going to be some adjusting, sure, because look, in a 60-game schedule, I'm not going to sit here and say that every team has a chance, but I think there are certainly more teams that are going to have a chance that realistically would not have had a chance in a 162-game schedule. I mean, that's the beauty, I guess, in some regards to the baseball season and the baseball schedule. Bad teams don't make it to the playoffs in a 162-game schedule, so it everything weeds itself out. Now in a 60-game schedule, it could be different. And I know, I'm sure you guys have talked about this. I'm sure you've seen it. I know I've talked about it. You know, you take a 60-game schedule from last year and the World Series champions don't make the playoffs. You know, Washington would not have made the playoffs last year under a 60-game scenario. So that goes to show you how important it's going to be, obviously, to get off to a good start. But given that 60-game sprint, you're going to have a team or two that are going to be maybe a surprise that wouldn't have been over the course of 162 games. Now, you know, I think for the way rotations are going to be structured, you know, I've seemed to read a lot of things to where teams are looking at their starting pitchers, you know, initially going 3 to 4 innings, and then maybe about 3 to 4 weeks into the season be to the point where, you know, they're ready to go out and have their full allotment. So, which, you know, I don't want this to sound like a knock on the game, but it's just the way the game is now. You know, we talk about starting pitchers and how limited they're going to be. Well, in today's game, most of those guys only go 5 or 6 innings anyway. So it's not like you're going to have to, you know, really build these guys up to get to that point where they're going to go 7, 8, or 9 innings. I mean, that doesn't happen a lot in today's game anymore. So I think initially, baseball is going to look a lot like, on a consistent nightly basis early on, a lot like what we saw a handful of times last year with teams, particularly, I guess, from what I remember is Tampa Bay, using the opener. You know, the starting pitcher now early on is almost going to be like the opener. He's going to go out there, he's going to go 3 innings, and then they're going to turn it over to the bullpen. And you know, it's going to put so much importance on how teams structure their bullpen, who those extra arms are that they carry, that they're allowed to carry. So there's going to be some finagling with that. But I do think you're right. On the back end, you may see some teams, you know, shorten their rotations. And I think, again, obviously my sweet spot, the Braves, you look at the team like the Braves, it's probably one of those things that could be beneficial to them because they've got at least three young guys in their rotation that in a 60-game schedule, they don't have to worry about their workload on the back end. So there's going to be no limitation on those guys on the back end, whereas in a 162-game schedule, I can promise you they would have been worried about the innings load come September.
You mentioned innings and starting pitchers, and you're a member of the 300 win club, and we may not ever see another pitcher get 300 wins for his career. Do you see a time where maybe they change the qualifications for a win down to four innings in light of the fact that pitchers just don't go that deep anymore?
I hope not. I mean, I hope we don't start changing the statistics to, what's the word I'm looking for? To, you know, cover up mediocrity, you know?
Right.
I mean, look, if to me, you don't have a lot of guys in today's game that are going six, seven, eight innings. You have some, and those guys are really good. And those guys should be noted as being really good. I mean, you take the Jake DeGrom, you take Scherzer and Kershaw and those guys are really good. And I don't think you should water down what other guys are doing because they're not capable of going out there and doing what the great guys are doing. So, I mean, that's just my opinion. So
sure.
I hope not. I hope they don't start to do. I mean, I know people are always talking about trying to reevaluate starting pitchers and you know, what truly tells a starting pitcher's value and things of that nature. I mean, I know the wins and losses are harder to come by now. Because of the way bullpens are used and, you know, guys aren't allowed to go out there, so to speak, in the sixth or seventh inning in a one-run game or a tie game anymore. They turn games over to relievers. So, you know, there's a handful of games that are lost there. Guys don't make 36 starts anymore like we used to. So, I mean, all those things factor in. But, you know, I just don't think that you should then start to weed down how you statistically measure guys to try to accommodate that mediocrity, so to speak. You know, I mean, if you can't go out there and go five innings to win a game, then you shouldn't deserve to win a game.
Right. Understood. And when you're talking about you said, hey, maybe 60 games or 70 games is not enough and bad teams have a chance now to get in. And you talked about last year, the first 60 games, the team who won the title would have not won it. Is there ever a time when you say too many games? If you had a perfect number, if you were the commish, you know, what would be a perfect number do you think that what baseball needs to have amount of games to still get a true winner and a true champion?
I mean, you know, I think for me, I'm very much open to the discussion of shortening the season and adding to the playoffs. You know, I know that's been talked about for a lot of years. I know the purists in the game probably hate that, but, you know, the purists in the game hated the wild card, too, and the wild card has been pretty good for baseball, and the wild card play-in game has been pretty good. You know, it's anything you can do to add excitement to teams and cities late in the year that maybe otherwise wouldn't have it, I don't think is a bad thing. Now, I'm not saying you want to open it up to, you know, as many teams as, say, the NHL or the NBA does. But, you know, I would certainly be open to shortening the schedule to probably, you know, when you hear about adding another tier of playoffs, the number that everybody seems to come up with that makes the most sense is like 154 games. I'd be fine with that and add an extra round of playoffs. You know, but I don't know that, you know, short of, say, changing the playoff structure, I don't know that there's a number I would have in my mind that I would say, hey, this is the sweet spot, right? I mean, there are people that will argue 162-game schedule is too long, and, you know, that's where baseball has a hard time holding TV viewership or attendance or things of that nature because there's a game every night and you know, you don't have the, you know, the same situation, say, as the NFL where it's one a week or NBA and the NHL where it's maybe two games a week. But at the same time, I think that's part of the allure of baseball, too. I mean, it's, you know, it is a war of attrition, and you got to do a lot of things to survive over that length of schedule. But, I mean, again, I would be open-minded to shorten it by, you know, a few games and adding a, you know, a true maybe 3 out of 5 extra round of the playoffs. I'd be fine by that.
Tom Glavine joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Tom, final question for you, and I'm asking strictly from a personal gambling perspective, but given that it's a 60-game season and given that starters may not work deep into games early in the season, is it possible that this year could feature a higher probability where a closer wins a Cy Young Award? You've won two Cy Young Awards. I'm thinking to myself, with the way this could play out, you could get a guy with 20 saves. He could have a low ERA. He could grab a few wins. We're not going to see a starter put up a 14-2 record this season. So do you think maybe there's a little bit of value in looking to closers to win the Cy Young this year?
You know, I hadn't thought about it, but it's an interesting question, and I would have to say off the top of my head, I agree with you, because you're not going to have starting pitchers have the kind of numbers that you're accustomed seeing starting pitchers have, right? So in a 60-game schedule, you know, if you have a five-man rotation, your starter is going to be, you know, lucky, I guess, if all goes well, they're going to get 12 starts somewhere in there, right? So, you know, the likelihood that somebody's going to go out there and, you know, have a bunch of wins, particularly where, and I don't know if this is the case or not, so if I'm wrong, forgive me, but particularly where if they haven't changed the rules initially for the starting pitchers to qualify for a win where they have to go five innings early in the season, then you got to figure that at least two of those starts for starting pitchers are going to be lost in terms of factoring into a win, because they're not going to be able to go enough innings anyway. So, you know, now you're down to 10 starts. Or nine starts, depending on how long it takes a guy to get built up to get to five innings. So, yeah, I see a team that has a strong bullpen that they can utilize, and particularly a front-line closer on the back end, that absolutely you could see a guy, you know, get a bunch of saves in a situation like that and certainly put himself in contention for the Cy Young Award. I could see that happening for sure.
Hall of Famer, World Series champ, two-time Cy Young Award winner himself, Tom Glavine, kind enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Tom, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
All right, you're welcome. You guys have a good day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.